Let's do this again. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest. That sounds good. Amen? Amen. A sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire. That's kind of cool. You make the offering to the Lord by fire, and you know what happens afterward? You get to take it home and eat it. Or maybe you don't live in Jerusalem. You get to take it back with your family and eat it. After service, we have an offering by fire. We will take offerings, and Dave Ward makes them, and you can he presents them, and you get to take them back to your chair and eat them. It is a great thing. It's kind of like a feast in the Lord. We call it Aaron's Grill because a priest used to make an offering to the Lord. Continuing to read, verse 26, the Lord said to Moses, the 10th day. So we got the first day, now we got the 10th day of this seventh month is a day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Sounds good, but there's that whole denial part. We can kind of run away from that. Amen? Amen. We've got to run away from that. Amen. Well, thank you very much. Do no regular work on that day because it is the day of atonement when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. It is a Sabbath of rest for you, and you must deny yourselves from the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening. You are to observe your Sabbath. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites on the 15th day, tracking, first day, 10th day, 15th day. On the 15th day, my point, get my part again, Feast of Tabernacles. On the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins. And it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire. And on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly. Present an offering made to the Lord by fire. It is the closing assembly. Do no regular work. Lord, we come before you this morning and we grab on to your word, Lord, that you would guide and direct us, Lord, as we look back 3,000 years, 3,500 years, Lord, a lot of years, Lord, but your word is true and your word is a guide to us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us, Lord, that we would find traction in your word and move down your path, Lord, to fullness in life and success in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
You want to find fullness in life? Do you want to find fullness in life?
Yes.
Do you want to find success in the Lord?
Yes.
You have to move down the path of the Lord. You got to move. You got to get progress. Amen?
Amen.
We had some rain this week. Anybody get an accident? Not much rain, but I know people freak out in San Diego, you know, like, oh, no, we had 1/100th of an inch of rain. It could create all kinds of havoc. In Tecate, where we used to live, it did create havoc because all the roads were dirt. And in the rain, the dirt became mud. Now, I had, as we worked on the orphanage down there that Julie used to work at, and Julie and Roki are visiting today and sort of visiting every other week. It's where Cody grew up. And I had a 1961 VW Bug. Had 1,100cc motor in that thing. I could pull that thing out just with my hands. And it was a great car for the mud. It was kind of like almost like a dune buggy kind of feeling thing, you know. And so when it rained, I did not care. I would go slicking and sliding around. It was just great fun. But there was a road that ran right down the middle of the valley. And you'd look at that thing and you would swear that it was flat. It was the grade on it was so gradual. But when it was raining, you knew that it was not flat because you could get up a head of steam on that thing, and you'd start going. It was so slick. I don't know if it had special mud on that road or what, but you would get going down that thing, and all of a sudden you'd feel yourself slowing. And my wheels would be spinning like crazy, and I'd just be slowing, just gradually slowing, and I'd back up, great, go all the way back, just get it going as fast as I could go, and that 1100cc VW, and just whining, and just stop. Couldn't get any traction. Today's message is progress on the path, and we are studying a series. We have a series called Beginning to Build, and it is a series on Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, this is the third in our series, Nehemiah discovered that the people in Jerusalem were living in disgrace. So he went back home, and as he got there, he built walls. Nehemiah gets there, and the walls are built in 52 days. They had been down for 130 years. Seems crazy that one man with some initiative and some vision and some resources could get this thing fixed in less than 2 months. 52 days. Now, we talked about these feasts, and that Feast of Trumpets marked, it was a one-day feast, it marked the beginning of the year. These walls were completed 5 days before the Feast of Trumpets. 5 days before the beginning of the new year. And it was like Nehemiah was saying, hey, let's get these walls done so that we can have an incredible New Year's Day celebration. Amen? They wanted to start the new year off right. They wanted to be on track. They wanted to be moving down the path of the Lord. They wanted to be making some progress, getting traction. We're going to read about Ezra today. Ezra the priest. Ezra had come 13 years before. And it was difficult. He had been preaching the word, but there was no traction because the walls were down. And the enemies of Jerusalem, the enemies of the Israelites were moving in and about and all around them. We've been here for 15 years, Lisa and I. This church has been here since the 40s. But in these 15 years, it has sometimes been difficult to get traction. Because if you leave this place, you can see that there are enemies all around. Amen? And sometimes the challenges will not just be around you, but they'll be right inside your house. It is challenging to get traction with the Lord when your enemies are in your own house. Say, man, I'm just trying to get by. Anybody relate to that? I'm just trying to make it through. And so as you are struggling every day to get a little continuity in your life, it is difficult to put your focus on the Lord. The walls are up. Progress is now possible. But if you're going to make progress on the path of the Lord, you got to move. Amen? Amen? Title of today's message is Progress on the Path. So here we go. Now we are indeed back in Nehemiah chapter 8. Here we go, verse 1. When the seventh month came, what was the seventh month? Seventh month was the beginning of the year. The seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, and all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. The water gate is nothing special. There just was an area in front of it that they had enough room for the people to meet. Okay, it was just like a place to meet. Then they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And the word, if you give it room in your life, will move you into change. Amen? Right. It will guide you along the path of the Lord. You're going to make progress. You still got to move, but it's nice to be on the right path. Amen? And so they gathered before this, the path of the Lord, marked out by the word, and here they read of the Feast of Trumpets, which was the feast that marked the beginning of the year, which was that day, the first day of the seventh month. And if you read on, which I don't have this verse here, but in the next couple of verses, they listened to the word being read for 45 minutes. No. 6 hours. It's kind of like I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to go there. So they wanted to start the year off right. They spent 6 hours listening to the word and they're beginning to grab on. And Ezra, you know, trying to get that traction, hadn't been able to do it, but things were different this year because the walls were up. 52 days changed everything. Maybe you've seen that change in your life. Maybe you've got, I have seen some of you folks making some dramatic changes in your lives. Moving out of drama, can I get a witness? And into security. And it is amazing when you are not surrounded by drama, surrounded by dysfunction, being ripped off by your own family or your own friends, that you can get a little bit of traction in your life and you begin to move down the path of the Lord. And you're going, what comes next? Amen? Amen. Now, maybe you're sitting here today going, whoa, I still got those people. You're going to move down the path of the Lord. You got to move. And sometimes changes got to happen. And sometimes the changes that we're talking about are quite complex. But there's help for you. And there is direction for you. And we want to provide that for you. And as we read about this, we read about the radical changes that happened in Jerusalem. In 52 days. Some of you look back on the changes that have happened in your life and you go, man, I was swamped for 20 years. And I made this change and things started to work out. Amen? They were ready to move into the life of the Lord. And this is where that verse that we talked about during worship. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord. That amen. The reason I ask you, can I get an amen? Can I get a witness on that? And you say amen is because you say, I agree with that. May that be for me. Let me put my stamp on that. And I say, can I get a witness? And you say, amen. I agree with that. And that's what they were doing with Ezra. This is what we want. We want to worship the Lord. We want to raise our hands. We want to bow down. And we want to be right with God. Amen. Sound good? Amen. Moving down the path. Thank you for that witness there, Pastor Paul. As Pastor Paul says, amen. My amen man, Larry Freeman, is not here this morning. Larry is in the hospital with stage 4 cancer in his upper GI. Is that correct? Gastrointestinal, whatever. Right next to his esophagus. They were going to operate to move it, remove it. Now, they are going to operate, correct? No, they're just trying to shrink it. I heard something about it. But if they're afraid that if they operate, he'll never eat again because it'll mess up his esophagus. So now they're trying to do chemo and radiation and shrink it. But Larry, my amen man, can use your prayers. So I want you, Lord, I just lift up Larry to you right now, Lord, that you would be mighty in his life. And there's a man that is lined up on you, moving down your path, Lord. And we just pray your healing touch upon him. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
See how that works? Amen. Yeah, I want part of that. All right. God provides assistance. The Levites were lay pastors, lay ministers. Our Sunday school teachers and people like that around here are lay ministers or similar to the Levites. The Levites instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear. Isn't that good to be able to understand the word? Making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. You know, you're going to move down the path of God. God's not going to leave you alone to do that. He's going to provide some assistance for along the way. Many of them were new to this word. Some of them had come with Nehemiah. Other of them had had so much drama going in their life, they had not been able to put any focus on what Ezra was doing around them. Kind of like City Heights, sometimes just too busy to put a focus on the Lord. Spend your time just trying to get by. God provides direction for these Israelites. He doesn't want you to get lost as you are moving on. Amen? And these Levites, there's a big old crowd of people in front of Ezra. Ezra's up on a kind of a dais or like a platform thing, and he's reading the word, just bringing the word for hours and hours and hours. And these Levites would have been spread around the crowd, and the word would have been coming out in Hebrew, and that was not the language of the realm, per se. And so what these Levites would have been doing was translating it to Aramaic so the people could understand. And this book, the Pentateuch that Moses had written, was still 1,000 years old. And you think about 1,000 years, you know, like, what's 1,000 years? Like the year 1,000. They talked way different than we do. Amen? It's kind of like reading the King James. King James is a good Bible. But sometimes it's a little thick trying to figure it out and need a little bit of help figuring it out. Well, that's the King James was from the 1600s. Think about reading a Bible from the thousands, 1,000 years old. And so what they were doing is they were in the crowd helping people out, helping them understand. Do you understand what this means? No, I don't get it. And they would describe it to them. 6 hours they're going through that. 6 hours the people are being transformed. God does not want you to run your race alone. He provides some assistance along the way. That's what I'm here for. That's what Pastor Paul is here for, and Pastor Scott, and all of our teachers. And Ann is even going through courses to get her credentials, getting better people. Pastor Dave, coming back, and it makes a difference. Amen? Amen. Come on up here, Sandra. This still on there?
Yes.
This on?
Yes, 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 yes.
Now, Sandra, I've been you have been talking, and Karina came up on Wednesday talking about just the impact that the Wednesday night study in Revelation is having on you.
Since Pastor Paul had started, I can talk loud. I'm pretty
it's okay.
Loud.
We want to get on the tape. You got it? It's not muted, right? All right. Keep on talking.
Since Pastor Paul has started and each Wednesday it gets more and more intense. I mean, he preaches so deep and he details every verse, every chapter up to where we're at. And it's like I'm amazed. I'm blown away. I'm sitting there, my eyes, I feel like I'm popping out of my head and amazing. Pastor Paul, thank you so much for your teachings. So I encourage you, if you don't come to it Wednesday nights already, to come if you have time. You will not be discouraged. Oh my goodness, I don't even know what to say about it. But
one thing she says, I am learning stuff that I never even knew was in the Bible.
And I'm even sharing with people. Because, okay, I'm sure all of us in one time in our life or more than once, we've heard of the mark of the beast. Okay, I actually thought that there was going to be a big beast, a big animal beast that was going to come out of the ocean or somewhere with horns. And he has detailed what each and everything means. Amazing. And I have told people about it. Even people are amazed. So I've even invited people, and hopefully people will come to.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. And she's not the only one. Karina does too. You can mute this now, buddy. God does not want you running alone. Amen? You turned me down a little bit there too, bud. God does not want you running alone. He's going to provide assistance along the way. Ezra did it as he was reading the word back 3,000 years ago. All right. Progress requires movement. Amen? Nehemiah, the governor. Turn me down just a little bit more, bro. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This is a sacred day to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. And sometimes, I mean, you come in here and we start talking about the plan of the Lord that he has for you, and you can get paralyzed. The word of the Lord brings conviction. That means you start, you know what conviction is? Conviction means you start feeling guilty. You start hearing, like Pastor Paul talking about the extra large pizza. Talking about that first slice goes to the Lord. You say, I always eat my first slice first. It's for me. Me and my brothers, man, we used to fight over the pizza. It was like speed eating, you know, and it'd be like, okay, he's going to get that one. I'm going to get that one. Oh, if I can eat this real fast, I can get that one too. And my mom had no clue what was going on. We all did because we were on the pizza fest, you know. But and sometimes that's the way we are with the Lord. Oh, whoops. Sorry, Lord, none left for you. We can take a look and see the path of the Lord for us, and sometimes it looks like it's too steep. It's too hard. And we take a look at ourselves. We say, Lord, I am just too far gone. Anybody felt that way? I'm too far gone, Lord. I can't make it. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to sit down right here. And what was happening with these people was they were mourning and weeping on the New Year's Day celebration day that we got the walls ready for. It is a day of celebration, and they were mourning and weeping. And if you're going to move down the path of God, you got to move. Amen. You can't just sit down and cry and weep. And they said, this is not the day to cry and weep. This is a day for movement. It is a day for celebration. It is a day. It's just like going to Hometown Buffet. Man, you go down there, it's like, oh. I remember he's taking Ray, I can't remember Ray's last name. He, Hamasura? Yeah, there we go. He would not eat breakfast and lunch, and we knew we were going to go to Hometown so we'd have enough room. And he would eat slow because he wanted to pack it all in. And that's what Nehemiah was saying. Hey, this is a day for celebration. It's not the day to weep. It's not the way to cry. You come in here today and you receive words of encouragement. Be encouraged to movement, not encouraged to collapse. The Lord gives us hope, and the Lord gives us a future. The path of God leads to that. You're going to have progress. You got to move. Amen? All right, here we go. On the second day of the month, all this was on the Feast of Trumpets, okay? All the peace, the 6 hours of the word, they got the celebration, they got the feast, they got all that stuff. They get up on the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, all the leaders, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the scribe to give attention to the words of the law, and they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites to live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And it's a good path. They said, hey, we like this stuff. You know, the walls are done, man, we did this feast. Let's read more about the word of the Lord and move further along the path of God. Amen? Amen. That sounds good. This is the next day, the second day. And they saw in the word and said, hey, this is something that we can do. We'll get the branches, we'll make booths. It's a celebration. I'll tell you what, it's a celebration of the time where the Jews came out from slavery in Egypt. And they passed through, they had the Passover, that's a different feast. And then they have Pentecost. But this, as they came out of the land and they were living in tents, and they were moving through the wilderness to the promised land. And they say, remember this, a lasting ordinance. Remember how we came out of slavery and moved into the promise. Now, this feast was given before they sent out the spies and failed, and God kept them in the wilderness for 40 years. It was supposed to be a one-year trip. And this was to commemorate that one-year trip from slavery into the promised land. Now, do you think these people could grab onto that as they were coming out of exile? As they were coming out when God dispersed them as a discipline, and now they're coming back to reclaim that same promised land. They're saying, oh, yeah, Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. This is something that we can grab onto. This is something that we need to celebrate. You're going to make progress on the path. You got to move. And they were moving. Amen? The word points the way. You will find things in this book that will apply to you. God will tell you to start doing things like having a Feast of Tabernacles. And when you come across that type of stuff, now this is pointed specifically at the Jews, you need to start doing them. Amen? You need to work the word. There are some things that the Lord is going to tell you to stop doing. I like that. Nice. Not even solicited. There are some things that you got to stop doing. Amen? When I was first saved, And I tell you, I was radically saved. I was a rather pumped up young man. And I met this woman. I was exercising a ton or just trying to do anything I could to be straight, right? So I meet this girl and I start going out with her and I set up all these new boundaries. Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And you know what? I am feeling good. She's not feeling so good about this. She's not saved. No, what is up with this dude? I was incredibly handsome, as I was now, you know, you see. But she didn't understand the whole Bible stuff and all that stuff. But you know what? I was going out with her for a short period of time, maybe a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, a month. I don't know something. I can't remember it that far. I look good, but the brain is failing. But I began to not be able to pray. And I had no clue why. I'm only saved like 3 months, right? And so I start talking to these people. I say, hey, this is what's going on. And they said, oh, that's a problem. I said, what do you mean, man? I got these new lines drawn. I got these new boundaries up. But my lines were further back than they used to be. But they weren't far enough back. And I had a choice. Am I going down God's path? Am I going down my path? If I had not continued going down God's path, I wouldn't be here today. Sometimes you're going to find yourself with lines that you have drawn that are not in the right spots. People that you are with that you don't need to be with anymore. You're going to progress down the path? You got to move. Sometimes to move, you got to make changes. Amen? All right. Point number three, staying on the path of progress. Anybody found that to be a challenge? Yes. Oh, yeah. Nehemiah chapter 9. We're still in the seventh month. On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all the foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. And I'm letting you know that it is easy to get off track. And saying, wait a minute, this sounds pretty good. It's the 24th day of the month. Now, if you go back to Leviticus, and I got Leviticus here, there's nothing about the 24th. We hit the first day of the month. Then we hit the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the 15th day of the month. And what they missed was the Day of Atonement. And so they're coming on the 24th after the Feast of Tabernacles, and they're saying, whoops! On the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly, deny yourselves, and make an offering to the Lord. And this is what they're trying to do. See what they were doing. How can they miss it? I mean, you've got the Feast of Trumpets at, I want to remember here, on verse 23 of Leviticus. You've got the Feast of Tabernacles on like verse 33. Smack dab in the middle is the Day of Atonement. Oh, we aren't seeing that one. And you got to ask yourself, why? They had time. It was the second day of the month. Day of Atonement is on the 10th. The Day of Atonement is the day that your sins are paid for. And there's a lot of us who love the celebration, but we don't like the denial part. We don't like to be reminded of our sin. And quite frankly, what we want to do is we want to pick and choose how we progress along the pathway of God. But you start picking what's on the path and it's no longer God's path, but your path, and you're just using some of his stuff to make your path look good. See, that celebration is like going to hometown saying, oh, I don't want any of that. Oh, I don't want any of that. Oh, yeah, this is for me. Or sometimes, you know, you just load up your plate full of stuff. You take one bite. Oh, no. oh, no. And then you put that whole plate. There it is, all that whole plate of uneaten food. And you just go back and get yourself. Am I the only one who does that? Amen. Amen? As in, yes, you are the only one? No. See, you're going to move down God's path. You've got to make sure it's God's path that you're moving down. And you can only go so far without dealing with sin. You can only go so far if you are going to avoid denial. See, he says, okay, we're going to open the year with trumpets. Da, da, da. First thing out of the gate, we're dealing with sin. And we're dealing with denial. And they said, oh, we're just going to skip that one. And they did the Feast of Trumpets, and they said, you know what? It's just not feeling right. Let's rewind. Oh, Day of Atonement. I think we need to do that. How many of us pick and choose? See, there's some stuff in the Word that tells you. See, it's that first piece of pizza that Pastor Paul was talking about. Oh, God understands. Picking and choosing. You going to go down your path or you go down God's path? Because some of us don't make any progress because we got to that part where we're done eating all the stuff we like and there's just, my son has just arrived, broccoli left or squash or any other kind of vegetable. Joel eat meat, Joel eat pot, you know. Rice and that kind of stuff. He doesn't like vegetables. You go down the path of God, you got to deal with the path that God writes out for you. Amen? All right. They read a history of God's action with the Israelites. There's a litany of God liberating his people and taking them through to the promised land. And there's a litany of how they failed in the promised land and how they were then dispersed. And they say, in view of all this history, we are making a binding agreement. We are making a covenant with God. We are putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it. They say, we're going to make this contract, and our leaders are all going to sign it. They're going to speak to us, and we are ready to agree to this new way to live. The path of God is a path of change. If it was not a path of change, you'd already be on it, and you'd already be moving. But many of us are on the wrong path. Many of us have come to that point where we're just stopping and crying because we don't know how to go any further. Or we don't think we're worthy and we're stopped and there's no more progress left. They said, we're going to go ahead and we're going to line up on you, Lord. We want to be part of that. Sign me up, God. Sign me up. They made a promise with God. They see the path. They're going to make some progress. They're going to make some movement. The covenant had three main components. One, we will not intermarry with our neighbors. You're thinking, really? What's the big deal there? Well, their neighbors were all pagans. And if you marry a pagan, you got paganism in your house now. Your grandkids are pagans. God said, don't marry these people. Don't give your sons to them in marriage, your daughters in marriage. Don't do any of that stuff because they will lead you into... He says you'll lose your kids. You let this garbage into your home, you will lose your kids. How many people you know who got kids that are lost? Most often it's because of the garbage in their home. Now, God has provision for foreigners to come in and join the Jews. But as they come, they leave all the paganism behind. Says, don't marry the neighbors. Don't marry the neighbors. Second thing that they did, and they write this down, you can take a look in the end of chapter 9 of Nehemiah. They honored the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year. The Sabbath day, you did no work and you focused on the Lord. The Sabbath year, you let your fields lie fallow. That means you didn't plant any crops. And you let the land rest so all the nutrients would come back in and you wouldn't wear out the land. Now, they were sent out into exile for 70 years. The reason it was 70 years, it was 1 year for every Sabbath year that they ignored. God's keeping track. God is paying attention. It's not just you not moving down the path. There's penalty associated with it as well. There's a third component. And it has to do with offerings. They said, we're going to make the offerings. They had a temple offering, a third of a shekel for every person every year. They had offerings of the first part of the flock. Your child was born. You had to take it to the priest and redeem him back because he belonged to the priests. You could let the priest have him and raise him up and be a priest, or you could redeem him back with something from the flock, a different sacrifice. You had the first part of your flock, the first part of your fields, all that stuff. And you're thinking, oh, this is City Heights. We're all broke. And God understands about being broke. He doesn't really expect us to tithe. These people, if you remember from last week, were broke. They were selling their sons and their daughters into slavery so that they could pay the taxes. Does that sound broke? Anybody here this broke? I don't think so. And they said, Lord, we want to progress down your path. And so, Lord, we are going to enter into a covenant with you. We're not going to marry the pagans around us. We're going to honor the Sabbath day and the Sabbath year. And the offerings that you spec out, we're going to bring. And then this God thing happens where you're able to do better with less with God than with all you got on your own. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? So where are you at today? These people said, where we're at, man, we got some new walls up. We don't want to be like this anymore. 130 years, we've been living in disgrace. We don't want to live in disgrace anymore. Lord, we want to make change. We want to line up on you, and we want to see progress in our lives. My question for you this morning is, are you making progress? There is 45 days to the beginning of the year. 1/8 of the year remains. And if you look back, January 1st of this year, have you made the progress that you planned on? Some of you might have even been further behind. Some of you are just going, woohoo! I am so far beyond where I was last year. I am just, woo, get me to hometown buffet. Almost, it's a celebration feast. And you're going to do great at Thanksgiving because you've got some stuff to be thankful for. And maybe you'd be like Sandra and you'd be sharing what is going on in your heart and what is going on in this place and the growth and the path to success that you are on. And I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope people look at you, man. People look at me those first couple of years after I got saved. Man, what is wrong with you? Oh. Maybe you come in here this morning and you are so challenged by your situation. You just look at the path of God and you just say, oh, it's so hard. It's so hard, I can't do it. I see the path of God and I look at me and I just see there's just no way that God could use a loser like me. You guys don't know my past. I stand up here and I tell you my past. My past is as bad as any one of you. Not a time to sit down and cry. You're going to have progress on the path of God. You have to move. This morning you come in here and you're going, oh, you know who I love? I love Claudia. This girl got a new job, 100-day job, lost that job, got another new job. This girl is not stopping. Ended up in a lousy place over on Euclid, not stopping, got a better place. Sandra, so many of you making changes. Maybe you got a bad situation at home and people ripping you off, ripping your stuff off. There's no security in your home. Well, maybe you can't change it today, but the first key to making a change is realizing I got no security. I got to find a spot. Mike and Eva came from no security. Now they got their own place. Dave Ward, staying with them. Dave, moving from no security, then they got double security. Progress on the plan of God and the path of God. You got to have movement. Where do you need to move today? Lord, speaking to your heart and saying, oh, child, you done took the wrong turn off. You're not even on the path. Or he's saying, I got some people around you. Get you back on track. Point you in the right direction. And give you some assistance all along the way. Amen? Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, that we can celebrate your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you got a healing touch for Larry. Lord, and that you got a place for him to go. Lord, I thank you that as we go down your path, Lord, that we head for that place for us to go. And maybe there are some here this morning that are not making any progress or headed to the wrong place. No reason to be there this morning. You're here this morning. No progress. You're here this morning. Maybe you're on the wrong path. And the Lord right now is speaking to your heart, saying, child, 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 time to move. You're ready to move. No progress or the wrong path. You're ready to move this morning. I want you to slide your hand up and say, that's me, God. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to change paths. I want to know you. God, speak into your heart right now. You're on the wrong path or you've got no movement. I want you to slide your hand up and say, Lord, that's me right here. Somebody else will say, that's me right there and right there, right there, back over here. You're ready to move. People before Ezra, they raised their hands. They stood and they raised their hands to glorify God. Say, Lord, we're ready to move. You're ready to move this morning. I just want you to stand where you're at. You put your hand up before. Just stand where you're at. And I want you to put your hands up in the air and say, Lord, here I am. I am ready to move. Standing to your feet is the first of many steps that you will make as you follow the pathway of God, as you begin to move. I just want you to stand where you're at. You put your hands up. I want you to stand where you're at. And I want you to put both hands up in the air and say, Lord, here I am. I am your servant. I am ready to move. I don't want to be where I'm at anymore, Lord. I want to be on the wrong path. I want you to guide and direct me. I want you to put people around me. You're ready to change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to pray with you. Worship team is coming. We are going to sing a song. We're all just going to stand where we're at. And you stood and put your hands up. I'd love to pray with you. You didn't stand. I would still love to pray with you and anoint you for the path of change. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing, Lisa. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing, Lisa.